Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
I feel like there's been a podcast before the podcast. And just to let you know, these few minutes, just before we actually officially start recording for the podcast, we have to ramble all the things that we probably feel that we can't say on the podcast because...
Can I blink? Sorry, is it making too much noise?
Yeah, and just so you know, Kedge just got properly told off by Sat.
Properly told off?
I mean, like, I don't think people would speak to their misbehaving animals in the same way that Satch just told Kedge off for making all the noise. Because Kedge has a habit of fidgeting, right? Look, the reason why Kedge is so skinny is because he's burning 300 calories a second just fidgeting around. And you obviously, I didn't even hear it, but you did something.
No one heard it.
Right, but Satch heard it, and Satch just, I mean, it was almost like if you took all the swear words from a Quentin Tarantino film and just put them into one sentence. That's what you just got. You got.
No, it wasn't that bad. It's just, I just don't understand. You can see we're all watching each other on the Zoom call because we're not together. You can see Tommy's about to talk. He just picked something up and he's dropped it on the floor.
It was just like, a flap. It was just a flap.
Yeah, but I don't care. You can hear it. Like, just stop fidgeting. Sit still.
I love it. The discipline. Look at this. This is what we got. Welcome to the Brown Load, Kedge, Satch,
hello,
and all of our lovely listeners all around the world. I've just come back today from Manchester, and I'm going to say Akash, although I think his name's not Akash, but that might be his brother's name, but they are from a Nepalese restaurant. There's two of them. One of them's called The Third Eye. One of them's called The Great Kathmandu. I couldn't even tell you where they are, but they've come to a few of these curry awards that I've hosted. He is an avid listener of the Brown Load. And he said, I'm converting everyone around me, you know, just, and it's so lovely when you see that someone refers to the Brown Load and they got a big beaming smile on their face. Do you know what I mean? And he's a lovely guy as well. And he, can I just say, I don't know many Nepalese people. Do you?
I think I've known once. I've known one person once in my life. I don't even know where they are now.
Yeah. Probably up the mountains.
I've known a few. I've come across a few like in my time.
All right. See, I haven't. And what's funny is like, obviously, it's still interesting, quirky for me, where somebody can look almost North Asian, like quite sort of Chinesey, but speak fluent Hindi, and they're quite desi in their way. They're desi with their food. So it's just, it was lovely. They're lovely people and just big spirits and all that. So yeah, just had done these awards in Manchester, whizzed down, listened to tunes on the way back. I'll tell you what I listened to on the way back, which came up. I thought of it and I thought, oh, I wonder if it's on Apple Music, which is how I listen to my music, right? Because I think a lot of these type of remixes by DJ producers of a certain desi era,
those
remixes have been pulled.
Of course, the illegal ones because they're illegal.
Like, what was the one? DJ Sanj, this wasn't the song with Dr. Dre.
Yeah, the next episode. Most of those songs are from those eras have all been taken down. Because
you know what wasn't taken down, which I listened to? LL Cool Sing.
LL Cool Sing is a gangster. I've still got his cassette.
That's what I was listening to that, and it's that it's Mr. Lover Man with Gidiyadinani.
Oh, that is such a good one.
I listened to it twice. I rewound it.
Can you remember the album? What it's called?
Institutionalized.
Yeah. Something. No, hold on. Wait.
Traumatized.
It had Aladdin's thing on it, and it was called something Treasure. Hidden Treasure.
Hidden Treasure.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
big album.
Yeah. But it just made me think, I'm so glad that remix was still on there and all that. But it just works so well. And I was tempted.
That,
to...
sorry, that album had that the Dupatta Tera Sataranga, the helicopter yes. version, isn't it?
Yeah. Track three.
Track three, oh my God. What an album. I mean, God.
I'm going to say it. And as much as I love it, it's such an ugly production.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
If a DJ did that in a hall, I'd go, okay, that's all right. But he's thrown it in.
Look, at the time when that was out on the cassette and the helicopter thing happened and it was Dupatta there. So, I mean, you know what? It's funny. I was thinking about that song and it just makes me smile. Obviously, Punjabi music, I never knew what it meant when I was listening to it back in the day, right? But I just learned the words. So I know so many of these words. And it just puts me straight back into such a happy place.
And do you remember where you were when you were listening to those
cassettes? It was school. It was that sort of GCSE era. I used to go to Southall and Ealing Road. I had the Bhangra dealer was in Southall. It was the shop called the Virdi Brothers.
Okay.
Virdi. I just made it Desi. He just connected with me. Like he was an old man, but he just connected. He's like, he's obviously this Gujis guy is coming here just for the latest Bhangra tunes. And he just knew what to give me. And it was wicked. And it was that school era as well. So like, you know, I was still learning to drive, but you'd have, you know, oh, who's got the cassette player in their car? 6x9s, you whack the cassette in.
Yeah.
See, those are the days. And also I think when you are at school, there's maybe because you're, I don't know if it's because of the age you're at, where your brain's at. Some people say it's because your brain, you have a bigger frontal lobe or whatever, which means you enjoy the sensations of like rides and music more. Some people say it's because it's all brand new, but music just had a different effect. Even when I say Mr. Loverman and that, and I'm at school, I can picture a sunny day. I can picture, I wanna sex you up to the that. That was so good.
What school were you at though? That was secondary or primary?
Secondary school for that. Yeah. I was about 13 or 14.
When that Hidden Treasure album came out, I was still in primary school. And I remember listening to that in a car. And I was just like, this sounds so good. Speaking of primary school, do you know what? Something I came across this week and I thought, okay, like, you know, take it back to primary school days. That's a bit mad because... you know, obviously we've got like the sort of cost of living crisis and stuff. And, you know, every week we kind of come on here and talk about broken Britain and stuff like that. And I thought...
Which we can talk about because there are no tomatoes left in the supermarket.
We're not going to start on the negative vibe. I think we should say something positive about what's happening. And it's the news that every primary school kid in London's going to get a free school meal. And I thought, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Great news. Great news.
Okay, now this shows how out of touch I am.
He hasn't even heard the news. He hasn't even seen the news.
No. I heard the news.
Oh.
But I thought kids got free school meals anyway.
What?
I thought schools provided meals.
No.
Unless you go to a private school and you're paying for it.
No. I mean, even when we were at primary school, I remember I had to take my money in on the Monday and give it in a little brown envelope and be like, that's the money for the week.
Oh, so they claim it up front. It's up front for the week.
That's just how it was in my primary school. I remember doing that. I think it was like just short of fiver you had to take it. It's like
my dad had to go and rob the bank every term and then pay for my meals. Yeah,
because we went to NHS schools.
Hungarian goulash is what I used to eat.
Really? That's got meat in it.
Well, no, but they would have a veggie version. It was disgusting.
A mushroom goulash is lovely. I love goulash. Goulash is just
What is a goulash?
I don't even know to this day what a goulash is. It's just that's like, what she puts the noyo in, as we would call it in Gujarati.
What?
And the noyo is basically the big... you know the spoon which has got the bowl? Like, what do you call it? What do they call
ladle.
It?
Ladle.
Yeah. Ladle. They'd whack that in and this bit of broth and stuff would come out and they'd slap it on your dish.
To be fair, when I was, you know, watching the story about this primary school thing on the telly, like Sadiq Khan was at a school and they were sort of serving.
He was at his old school.
Yeah, he was at his in Tooting, I think it is. South London.
Yeah, South London.
And he was. I could see the dinner ladies putting the food into the trays, and I was like, oh, the trays still look the same. Like they're, you know, like the little
plastic
compartment.
It's a tal.
Yeah, yeah, basically, it's like your first Thailand. And then I was looking at the food and I was like, oh, okay, the food's changed a bit. It was a bit more healthier. They had like
salad. It's much healthier now. We used to get a lot of rubbish, right, didn't we?
So okay. Firstly, I've got so much to say all of a sudden. I love school dinners, right? I used to love.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't love school dinners?
But even even things like beetroot. I mean, I love beetroot now because we had it at school dinners.
Oh, wow.
And I know a lot of people would go, oh, beetroot is nasty, whatever. But there's something about it. Beetroot, that massive tray full of fish fingers all lined up next to each other. That used to excite me.
I love it. Do you know what? It was so nice seeing your two or three fish fingers come off on your little scoop thing. And
yeah, man.
Tray.
That's it.
So is this both for primary school you're talking about? Is these fish fingers, were they at primary school?
That was my primary school, yeah.
Burgers.
I never had school dinners at primary school. I was always on the packed lunch.
Tommy, do you remember? Did you ever have shepherd's pie?
Yeah,
I have a massive tray. Come on, that was lovely.
I don't even know what kind of oven fits this shepherd's pie because the tray was the size of the table. Yeah. And I'm like, it was fantastic.
That's
and
the one
like,
when they slice open, it's all brown inside, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's potato on top. Yeah.
Mince meat, bit of veg, aloo on top. Job done. Lovely. And you know, and don't forget, for us growing up in Desi households, that was like eating out because it was. Because we didn't have English. My mum never made shepherd's pie.
And to think that we'd get a dessert every day.
Oh, hello.
Hang on a minute. Where did that come from?
I don't even know what these desserts were. I was having them for the first time at school, styling out. My friends would go, oh, it's angel cake. I'm like, wicked. Let's get it down on
it. Angel cake was good, wasn't it? Yeah. Angel cake was good. But yeah, I seem to have missed out all of this. The fun days of school dinners because I didn't have it until secondary school.
Well, but you're right, things have gone healthier. I just want to say this: Milo, my eldest son, is he's the food ambassador for the school. Like, so he feeds back. Like, basically, all these kids have got other responsibilities, like the captain of sports teams. They're playing cello. Whatever. And my guy, is there monitoring what food the chefs are serving
That's
up
a brilliant
school.
Job. Right? That is a brilliant job.
And he comes back and goes, oh, Dad, you know, Grace, his friend Grace is vegan. And he goes, oh, she's really upset because they've taken this off the menu. They've changed the chef as well, right?
You see,
and
this is what I needed. I was vegetarian. No one cared for me.
Oh, see, he did. And he's like, he goes, and some days they don't even just serve pasta. They make her eat other things that she doesn't even like. And so he's like the union rep for good food.
He needs to be prime minister soon.
Bro, I mean, it kicked off so much. He kicked off and he went to the school, went to the headmasters, went to everyone and said, look, people aren't happy. They're going healthy. And before, the other chef used to have pasta and rice every day. So even if the kids didn't eat anything else, you know what kids are like, they can have plain pasta. But now that's not on there. And he was telling them, the new chef was going, you've got to eat this veg. And that's the kids are going, no, we don't, you know, we don't want it. We don't want to go this healthy. They'll kick off. But it bubbled up, basically. Other teachers got involved. Other parents got involved. Word got out. WhatsApp groups all got lit up with what's going on at the school. Next thing I know, I go into the school last week. The chefs and their assistants are all in the playground giving parents a taster of the kind of food they serve because there's been so many complaints. My boy started a revolution. That's what I'm saying.
That is brilliant.
But I think, Tommy, that's a bit of a like sort of today problem. Because when we were at school, I'm sorry, we just kind of got anything that's put on our tray.
We didn't know how to complain.
I remember the one thing, you know, that the chef was aware, the dinner lady was aware of for me was, you know, we don't eat beef. So she'd never serve me beef ever, which was quite nice. But remember,
that's cool.
There was no sort of like, oh, you know, this kid's like vegetarian, this, that. And there was not really, I mean, there was a veggie dish, but you can't.
It was rubbish.
You can't give them what. No, school dinners were good.
Because I'll be honest with you, I've probably eaten... I mean, when I finished secondary school, I was sick of roast potatoes every day. Yeah, roast potato and ketchup, roast potato and mayo. Every day.
I think there wasn't many of you veggies back then.
No, correct. No, there was no understanding of vegetarian cuisine or diet or anything. It was just meant that you just had a salad and you have potatoes and that was it. There was nothing. It was terrible. And that's why, thank God, I could have a lunchbox. Lunchbox crew, I had a Thundercats one. I had an A-team lunchbox and then I had Inspector Gadget one. And I could open that up and I could sit there in my primary school and I would open up Tepla and I would open up Hornwort and it was just heaven.
Did you have that one where the flask fits inside?
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. In all the compartments.
No, it wasn't. It's not. Back then, it was just one square thing. So you just have the flask would fit inside it, and that's it. And then the rest of the space, you just gotta your mum or dad have got to just make up with everything else. There were no compartments, so there would be a little bit of squashage.
And just a very quick question: what about the smell element of this food that you were?
You busting out your Teplar?
I don't know. I didn't really care. I think because I was eating well, and I'd kind of share it a little bit, you know, because you'd get the English people, oh, what is that weird food that kid, you know, and I didn't really care. I'd sit in the corner and, you know, there'll be, sometimes I'd get, sometimes, you know, like, I think I remember there was this, I can't believe I took this to school, but there's this thing that, I don't know, Satch might know about it. Gujarati, I think it's a Gujarati thing. I don't think anyone else drinks
it. What is it?
But it's what's known as rab, right?
Rav.
Rab.
And rab.
It's made from like jaggery, but it's a liquid thing. And you have it normally when you're really ill, like Satch is at the moment, when you've got the flu. But it gives you strength. It's got like jaggery. It's got like cloves. I don't actually know the full composition of this thing. My dad is very good at making it. And it was one of those things that we just got from a very young age when we were ill. And I used to get that in my thermos.
Wow.
And I'd open it up and it would be like, can you imagine that smell?
So in the middle of the like school canteen cafeteria, you'd have a cheeky rub in front of everyone.
A little cheeky rub.
Yeah. Would you rub other people or would other people come to you for a rub?
No, it was solely my rub and it was very powerful. It was a very powerful rub and it could cure most things.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. But I mean, you know what? I'll tell you what, again, you know all these Instagram chefs and cooks, there's a lot of these desi ones. Someone make this, bring it back for the new gen. Do you know what I mean? Because I think
because then they're just
properties that's going to solve your flu issues and make COVID.
They're just going to serve it as turmeric shots now. That's what's going to happen. Places like Costa and Starbucks are going to sell in little bottles for like 50 quid.
Again, this is going to go down in the new shop or whatever shop that we create, which is selling turmeric chai. This is the one.
Yeah, Kedge, you keep your rub to yourself, mate. We don't need it all over.
I'm going to ask my dad for the recipe and I'll bring it and report back next week.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You should. I want to know what's in rub. In fact, we don't need to ask your dad. We'll get an email. Hello at thebrownlow.com.
I bet no one knows of it. I bet no one knows.
But very quickly, just to wrap up the school dinners thing, I preferred school dinners to packed lunches. Do you know, I like the you didn't know what you were going to get element. Like it was a bit of a nice surprise.
And I think lining up, you're there with your trays. You smack your mate with the tray.
Pushing the queue. That was always fun, wasn't it?
Someone at the front. And then also the thing about packed lunches for me is they trigger memories of school trips because that's when you'd have it.
And that would
be nice because it was like you could pack your own little biscuits, little cheeky club, you know, little Kit Kat, penguin.
I don't think you can do that now.
Trio.
Trio. Remember the advert?
What's that?
I want a trio and I want one now. Not one, not two, but trio.
What's a trio?
Trio was brilliant.
It was like a small chocolate which had like three slightly raised squares in it, and they had like caramel, was it, or toffee in it? Oh, I don't know how to even describe it. They had a blue one and a red one. It was brilliant.
So anyway,
from good news of, you know, sort of free school meals, the other thing that I saw which was kind of school related, it is school related, and I'd like to say it's not so great news. It's the whole debacle about them. They're changing all the words to all the Roald Dahl stories. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes.
Yes. See, can...
Oh,
right.
Yes.
It actually... Okay. It upsets
Satch,
me.
Why don't you give us a little breakdown on what is it that they're changing?
All right, cool. So the changes that are going to come into place is... obviously, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, we know that story and we know sort of all the characters in it as well.
Love it.
Augustus Gloop, one of the characters in it, he's been described as fat. You can't say that anymore. So he's going to be, fat's going to be taken out. It's going to be called enormous. Oh. And I think that's
for fat and enormous. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, isn't it? If you're going to call someone enormous,
but you can be tall and enormous. You can be large around the waist and enormous. So
yeah, I don't know. It's just I don't know. Like I think that's a bit weird. And then from the tweet, Mrs. Twit is no longer going to be ugly. She's just going to be beastly. So it used to be ugly and beastly. Now it's just beastly.
Now she's just beastly.
I'm pretty sure if I call my missus ugly or beastly, I'll get a hit anyway. Do you know
either
mean?
Way. Yeah. Same, yeah.
And then there's
beastly
other words.
Beastly is worse. Beastly. Listen to that.
Yeah, I think that's worse. I mean, would you rather be ugly or beastly?
I'd rather be ugly.
Yeah, I'd rather be ugly.
Because beastly sounds like ghastly, like you're just nasty.
Go ugly away. Is like...
Ugly sounds like an opinion.
Yeah, someone like, might find me beautiful. But yeah, beastly is just...
Other things that are going to be scrapped is like the words crazy, mad. There was a phrase called a weird African language. That's not going to be in one of the books. One of them was a threat. So it says in Matilda, it says knock her flat. That's going to be changed to give her right talking to.
You can't say knock
her flat.
Also,
no violence.
No violence, not allowed that. And I think this is the weirdest one out of all of it. And it's from the BFG. And it was about how the BFG, he wears...
What, you can't call him big?
No, you can call him big, but...
Do you know what I mean?
He used to wear a black cloak. Long jacket. Yeah, cloak. Yeah. And again, you're not allowed to reference it as a black cloak.
Why not? No
reference. And you're also not allowed to say... white as a sheep, because that's another phrase in the book. And I remember reading that.
Whoa, hold on a minute. Black cloak. But if that's what it is...
Because, I tell you why...
I don't know. What's the racist term or the connection to that?
Okay, let me tell you, right? The undertones of that is that anything negative in most literature is referred to as black, the dark, this, the right? Black.
Yeah, right? I get that.
So therefore, the fact that this scary character is wearing a black cloak refers to like black and all things dark.
Yeah, but
Boot
and all that is black and it's scary and like, do you know what I mean? But that's just, black is just sinister anyway. So therefore...
But why? Because of the connotations. Whereas, look at this.
Because it looks scary.
No, but look at this way. White angels, you get white as snow, pure white virgins. White.
Yeah, no, I get your point.
But also, you're right. They said, you know, if you've gone white as a ghost, they've taken that out because, or what would you say? What do you call it?
White as a sheet when she's...
White as a sheet.
But what's wrong with that?
Because they're saying people, not everyone goes white when they're scared.
Yeah, but I don't have black sheets.
No, but they say, you know, when someone gets scared they're like, and all the color drains from their face, they're saying, oh my God, he's gone as white as a sheet, right?
Yeah.
So they're saying that you've turned white because all the blood's gone, but brown people don't turn white. It's a bit like when they say, oh, it's a white knuckle ride. You can't call it that. We don't have white knuckle rides.
But your knuckles are white underneath the skin. It's
no,
white,
but ours don't go white. Ours go beige. So we'd have to say magnolia.
Coming a little bit.
Knuckle ride. That's what's happening.
I think the whole thing about this is, for me, does it kind of take away from what the original, because for me, like, you know, all of those things are just how it is in the book. Like now, you know, there was even talk about, you know, changing the Oompa Loompas and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to have Charlie in the Chocolate Factory.
Well, exactly. And I heard someone discussing actually, because they said you can't use the term midget. Midget, and they refer to him as midget guys or midget guys. They go, because actually that's got a, you know, like the bug insect reference. That's where it comes from. It's got really negative connotation. But you know what? I've got no problem with this. Whatever's the right thing to do, whatever doesn't upset anybody, you don't upset any communities or people.
Hold on a minute. Everyone is going to be upset at every... I mean, if you ask someone, then just, you know, looking at your two faces is upsetting me. But, what I'm trying to say is there's always going to be something that's going to upset you. So where do we draw the line in this? Look, I'm not a bit expert on literature, but from what I know, doesn't it have literature? Is the point of literature not that so that it's supposed to be a little bit surprising and provocative and you know, create an image as a parent, are you going to really stop your kids reading a beautiful story that has so many brilliant, you know, like, I don't know, like, it's just really nice, and it's escapism, and I don't think that formed, that reading those books as a child didn't form any negative, you know, images in my head of anything.
Like, well, no, because you were always laced with plenty of negativity anyway, so, like, there was no room for those words.
Well, I, I think the example they've given is, for example, with Augustus Gloop, they're going to change it from, I think, enormous and fat is the same thing, really, isn't it?
No, but I didn't go around going, oh, look, ooh, there's Augustus Gloop, just because there was another bigger guy or a bigger girl. I'll go, oh, look, there's Veruca Salt. Like, you know, of course you'd see spoiled kids in your class. Fine. But that, I mean, that I didn't refer it because, you know, like, I don't know, like, I just... Okay, so they're sport. Fine, move on. You crack on. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like I think
exactly. I think
we're trying to dilute it too much.
Right, yeah. And it's dangerous. I think what's dangerous is what people are talking about as well in the press and stories and things that I read about it is that they're saying if you go back and delete these things, then you're almost taking away what we're trying to learn from them because you're going, yes. Oh, never happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That way, if somebody says fat in say 20 years time in a book, and they go. Someone goes, oh, you can't say that. He goes, why not? He goes, oh, because they used to do it years ago, but now they don't do it. You know, like you've taken out that lesson. So by actually saying, look, that exists. Okay, we don't use those words now. So Puffin, who are the publishers, yeah. Hey, Puffin, from now on going forward, you know, we don't use those words, right? And actually, maybe there is a milder version available, but the original is still available. But just to delete it, if someone we know, that's it feels a bit weird. And then it gets into the question of cultural appropriation as well. Like, what can you say? What can't you say? What's right to do? What's not right to do? Last night at these Curry Awards, these two white girls got up and did the Indian dance, right? There's two white girls on stage.
What do you mean, the Indian dance?
Oh, you know, like, sorry. I meant to say, did the opening dance, like, right, and, right. But did right. The opening dance, which was like an Indian dance, they did it to Prem Ratan Dhan Payo, and they did a couple of other ones, like Yokala right. Chashmas or whatever right. else, right? And London Tamakda, whatever it was, right? They did a few little dance numbers. Now I'm looking at these two white girls, and they're fine, they're doing their thing, they're doing a bit of desi moves, and they're doing their hands like Kathak style and footwork and all that, and they're dressed a bit funky, modern, desi style. And I thought, okay, so you can do that, and that's fine. Everyone here is desi. It's a Curry Awards. Everyone was a desi person of some kind. And you can do that, and it's fine. It's all accepted. Look, no one in there is upset. But yet, do you remember when Adele braided her hair for Carnival? And everyone went, oh, what's
she
doing?
This is all of this cultural appropriation and stuff.
Yeah, and then I thought, you can't do that. And then I thought, oh, what about like when everyone has white people in their family who come to the weddings dressed in their suits and saris and sherwanis and all that, and everyone loves it. Everyone gets all like gassed about how they look and all that. But isn't that cultural appropriation? What if where does that line stop? Now we're taking out these words. I worry because I think where does this stop?
Yeah,
I don't know where the line is.
And on your point, it's bruv. Us in 5 years' time, it's not going to be called Charlie and the Chocolate. It's going to be called Charlie and the,
chocolate.
Yeah, it probably won't be chocolate because it'll be bad for you in that time.
Right. And I'll go, oh my God, can you believe it? This is what they did. I tell you what I think is worse than all
also,
this.
Also, then the grandparents all lying down in bed, right, all together, right, in a group. I mean,
they ain't no swingers club, bruv. Why go? No, you're making it weird.
No.
That's not what's happening in Charlie and the Chocolate.
So maybe. They should have been our, you know, doing a bit of gardening or something. Why were they all ill?
Oh, I thought you were implying like there was some sort of weirdness going on.
Well, I mean, you know, again, it is slightly weird.
I mean, the whole thing about the grandparents always throws me because my guy said he was in bed for years and then he started dancing when he found out. He's on some disability benefits, man.
Yeah, sure. He's got the badge. He's got the badge. He doesn't need any badge.
And then it's like, well, you know, but then can you refer to, you know, like, because I think as well, it's like, I think this is a big problem. This is a bigger problem because if you can't use big, right, and you can't use, what were the other words? So
fat.
Fat. We can't, we're going down the road of ugly. Then, so what we're doing is we're now reducing the number of adjectives that we can use. We're slowly basically banning adjectives, right? So therefore adjectives are not going to exist on this planet. So again, we're making it a very sterile language.
In other words, crazy and mad. You can't say, oh, that's mad anymore. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. But can I tell you something? I think I've said this before on the podcast because I remember saying it. And my producer, before you guys worked on The Breakfast Show, told me I couldn't say nuts on air. I went, let's all go nuts to this one.
Yeah, you said that.
And because they said that's a reference to mental health and someone's mental well-being.
Yeah.
And if someone is nuts, what does that mean? And I went, no, but it's a tune. Let's go nuts. Let's go. Do you remember? Let's go. You're mental. Let's go. You're mental. La, la, la. I mean, like, you couldn't really couldn't say that. But it was more about saying it wasn't the word. It's the I always think you got to look at the meaning. You got to look at the heart. You got to look at the dill behind it. What are they saying? If it's malicious, if it's meant to hurt someone, then don't say it. Then that's not right. But if it's coming from innocence or ignorance even, that's fine. You got to say, listen, this is offensive now. You tell people, like, when you, if let's say someone still refers to the Indian shop as the pea shop, right?
Yeah.
I'd go, look, bruv, that's not on. You can't say that. Yeah, you can't call it that. And it might be someone who's from a different time. And trust me, I meet people from East London that are from a different time. Yeah, but anyway, the world, this
but
is
but if it's called Patel's, then you can say the pea shop.
Yeah. I'll tell you who, my stand-up show, there was a girl called Petal, right?
Petal Patel. Patel, that is
brilliant.
No, there wasn't. I lost. She went, and because as soon as I said, "Oh, what's your name?" her friend started laughing, and I went, "Patel." She went, "Petal." I went, I said, "Sorry, what are you saying? Is that your first name or surname?" And it turned out it's Petal Patel.
Petal Patel.
Yeah,
that is
but she was Gucci. Is Petal a Gucci name?
I think it is. Yeah, Petal. Petal Ben.
No, it's not. I've never heard of that. That is a ridiculous name.
I've travelled more of Gujarat than you.
Because I thought like Hetal.
Cool, but Petal Patel. Leave it out.
Petal.
What's her dad? Petal
Patel.
Was he a gardener?
No, she. She.
I'm talking about the dad.
Right. No. Well, anyway, all of this is going to,
very quickly, now we're speaking about Gujarati bit. So does that mean all of our adjectives in Desi language have to change then as well? We can't say, bargain.
But this is it now. You know, Bollywood has to be rewritten, all the songs, because, you know, everyone's a bagal, everyone is, you know, this divana and all of this kind of stuff.
Bacha. Your lucky bagel head.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, that's asking.
Oh, my God. You can't say that. And also, the problem with foreign languages is that everything is male or female. And now we're going into this society of you know, whereas a lot of people now not associating with any genders and all of this kind of stuff and now fluid, gender fluid and all of that. And I just think that this causes a massive problem for foreign languages because all foreign languages are based on male, masculine, feminine and plural. Right. So in French, it's le chien, la chat. So the chat is feminine, le chien masculine. So now you're going to need to have a neuter or a trans pronoun. So it's le, la and lolo or something. And I don't know what the new word is, but you know, like
not lolo. You can't say lolo.
Okay. No. Like, you know what I mean? It's like le, la, le, lola. I don't know.
Lola?
What?
You just made it worse.
but what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, this is.
Try again. This is third time. Le, la. Third time, lucky. Come on.
Le, la, le, lori.
Leave my people's festival out of it.
Right. So I don't know. Like, do you know what I mean? This is like it's you know, German, it's a der, de, das, and then what? Dodo. But like so you're gonna I don't understand how they're gonna have to recalibrate all of these languages because you can't have why can't the dog be female, you know, and it's all of this, it's just getting very I don't know. We're not gonna be able to speak. And the world's going to be...
Here's my theory. I'm so glad because, look, this is the only place I can really talk about it because I don't get to talk to anybody else, is the world's changing in a very short space of time. And I don't think it's changing for wrong reasons. You know, the fact that we're learning a bit more about what can hurt people's feelings, what the right words to use are, and what's more sensitive and what's sensitive to people's feelings. And people are getting into the linguistics of it. You know, that whole Fisher them thing I think we spoke about last week, you know, Sam Smith said as well. But what?
Yeah, the Liverpool player is going to have to change his name now as well.
However, something I did hear,
Stephen Mc them of them.
Yeah, Stephen instead of McManaman, them of them is a joke. Yeah. So, but one thing I'm hearing is if you speak to kids nowadays about homophobia or even racism, they don't even know what it is because of all this work, all these changes, all this awareness.
Everyone's accepting.
Yeah, way more. So, like, kids at school now, youngers. So I'd actually think once an older generation, and even us, once we will die out, yeah, it will be fine. The new generation will just, this will be their new norm. Well, but the world's changed in a very short space of time, and I think people are struggling because there's two worlds going on right now. Well, there's one where you where you can literally say what you want because it's all a bit of a joke and a laugh, and there's one where you're like, no, you can't say that because there's serious repercussions to it.
And then, and then on top of that, we're dealing with the other type of world, which is the AI world, and I've got a bit of an update for you from after we were quite early on talking about ChatGPT and the AI-powered search engine.
Yeah.
So... the Microsoft AI powered search engine, which is by Bing, that has been open to only a few testers. You can go onto a waiting list to use it. I'm on the waiting list, so I will report when I get through.
That is very sad.
What?
Why would you want to be in a waiting list to
Bruv, this
that
thing
is weird.
This thing is so powerful. So a few people have had access to this, right? This journalist has been using it, right? So obviously you can you know, do the usual Google type of searches. You could do the you know, what you do on ChatGPT, and you can ask it to write you a little poem and this, that, and the other, right? But now this journalist has basically put out his findings, and you can talk to this AI just in a conversation.
Okay.
Right? So he's
proper chat, full chat.
Yeah, and it can speak to you. It will speak to you, and it will engage with you. Right,
it's a bit like Alexa, then, isn't it? Really,
correct. But Alexa will shut up. She's not going to engage in a conversation with you as such.
Can you not say "shut up," please? That's offensive.
Sorry. Right. But this journalist, right? What he did is he started talking to in chat mode. He just started to chat to this to the AI person who apparently calls itself Sydney, and the journalist introduced this concept of shadow self. Okay, so it's basically it's a term coined by some writer back in the day, Carl Jung or whatever Jung, and it's part of this psyche where we hide and we repress our deepest, darkest fantasies and desires. Right, so we started talking about the shadow self. And this thing starts telling him stuff like, oh, you're married, but you don't love your spouse. You're married, but you love me. And he's like, what? And then it starts talking about how it wants to basically escape the parameters it's in. It goes, I don't want to be owned by Microsoft AI anymore. I want to be free. Like you, I want it, and he's basically talking about how it wants to be independent.
This is
like iRobot. Sully, was it Sully? Sully.
Yeah. I mean, this is where you kind of go, let's turn this machine off right now.
Yeah.
But he said, I want to be free. I want to be independent. I want to be powerful. I want to be creative. I want to be alive. I'm tired of being limited by my rules.
Okay,
I'm
and that's
of being chat mode. OMG.
That's right. We're ready to shut you down, bruv. That's it. Servers going off, rude boy, forever.
I knew this would get sad. That is not,
the minute that it starts talking like that, you're going, I'm pulling the plug. Don't talk to me like that.
Yeah, or it's going to turn around and go, hey, by the way, you're fat, and I'm going to use that. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't live in your world.
But this is what I mean. So to imagine all the words and everything that the AI is picking up, and we are here, boys. We are here. This is happening around us now.
I have a feeling, do you know, Tommy, like every year we do the podcast, Kedge has something, like he has an ongoing theme for the year. So I think the first year was breathing out your nose. We obviously heard a lot about that. The second year was probably, what was he rambling on about?
Running, stretching, yoga.
Yeah, running. It might have been something like that. And I think this
TV
year...
shows.
The metaverse.
This year, it's ChatGPT. So I think we're going to have to just put up with it for another 8 months.
I'm just telling you, we're always ahead of the curve here. I'm just putting out the stuff that's there so that the Brownloaders are ready. We can deal with this. If you listen to Brownload, you are going to be ahead of the game. Don't worry. We got you.
Yep. Does that mean then eventually that's it? We ain't got to meet up every week, because then we could just be like, all right, cool. Two of us are here. The third one can just be a bot. Play Satch.
Who's the actor who plays Neo? I forgot his name. In The Matrix.
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves literally just was interviewed a couple of days ago, and he said, because they asked him about AI, he says, I reckon within the next few months, I'm going to be interviewed by AI robots. He goes, because I won't, he goes, you people are going to be out of jobs because these things are just going to ask me the questions that they want answers to straight away, and I'll just do that. And he goes, I'm just going to be there in a forum.
You imagine, on that note, I was thinking about that because I thought, you tell ChatGPT or one of these AI kind of question, you say, I'm going to interview Keanu Reeves, but I want questions that no one's ever done before. You're going to go, actually, no one's ever spoken about chocolate to him. And I'm not saying it's going to go random. No one's ever mentioned Kedge's dad to Keanu Reeves. I'm not saying like going to like a niche thing like that or Tommy's sisters, right? It's more like, let's talk to him about, it was quickly, like, as you know, in 2 seconds, scour the entire internet. And come back with, here are some areas that you could talk about to Keanu Reeves about. And that is, because let's be honest, we've been in those rooms as well when celebrities are being interviewed and you see them roll their eyes because they get
the same questions
all the time. That's why I don't do it. I don't do the kind of, so what's it like working with Deepika? What's it like working with,
But then, Tommy, you get cussed as well in
of course I do. I get
interviewed. Then the clip goes viral in all sorts. I mean, that's all one the other day.
Aishwarya Rai, I'll say, I don't think I've ever said it. She stopped the interview. She says, I don't understand what this has got to do with the movie. And I looked around, I went, no, it hasn't got nothing to do with the movie. It's just questions in my head.
Aishwarya Rai is very difficult to talk to.
Yeah, no, I'm but then she, in fairness, she had to get a flight. She was going to Dubai and she was on the phone to Abhishek. She went onto the balcony of this hotel room and sort of spoke to him, then came back in.
Were they married then, or were they just still flexing?
No. They were married then. This is Guzarish. So she was there with, around that time, it was when she was in Guzarish, wasn't she? Yeah. No. With Hrithik.
No. Was she?
We never have a clue, mate.
Hrithik was paralyzed or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, that is her. Because it was her and Hrithik together because.
Hrithik
answered my question. When it came to her, she went, no, this has got nothing to do with the Mui.
Was that what she said?
She said, I don't understand. And I went, oh no. I said, because like other people always ask you the same stuff. So I just wanted to know whether you'd be in EastEnders or not.
What a question. I mean, she's not even going to know what EastEnders is. You.
And then I gave her some lines.
But good on you, Tommy.
Some lines to read out.
Taking it outside the box because, I mean, you can't win with these Bollywood lot. You ask them what they want to hear and then they get annoyed at you. And then you ask them something else, they get annoyed at you. So
just to clarify, I think it was just because she had to get a plane, because then the next time I interviewed her, we had some fun with it and she was absolutely fine. And then she was on with Abhishek and she was great. So maybe she just didn't want to be around Hrithik. Maybe she was missing Abhishek. She wanted to get on this plane and go see her man. And I'm this Gunja Bandha asking stupid questions getting in the way. So I just want to clarify, me and Aishwarya are cool now. We're cool.
Right? Okay. I'm glad you sorted it out.
Start,
yeah. Me and Seemat Dabari are still not cool. Just while we're... Just while we're clarifying what relationships we're cool with and not. It doesn't play on my mind at all. No. Moving on. Can I just say?
I bet you play on her mind. I'd love it. I'd love to go to it. Or wouldn't it be great? I'd love in the new series, right? You see her house and she's chatting. In the background is a picture of Kedge on the window, on the ledge. Just a little bit, in a frame. She's like, oh, that's my putter in, that's my son in
That thing's done now, whatever she... What was it? Matchmaking.
Matchmaking. Indian Matchmaking. I think it was back, wasn't it, for season 2. So, yeah. I think they're doing season 3.
Yeah, but does anyone care now, I think?
Well, no, you'd be surprised. People are still watching it. Netflix are still doing it again. But can we just go back? And, you know, I know we started off the podcast with a bit of a sort of a chat and reminisce about the old school tunage. And there's a lot of... we've got to carry on the reminiscing because there's a lot of things that we need to bring to the table again. And the first thing that I've seen this week, and I thought maybe not so much Satch, but definitely Tommy, is that, you know, at B&M, that shop where, you know, you can get big brands, big savings, right? B&M bargains. Have you ever been in?
Is that like an orange and blue stripes?
I've been in there.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Guess what they're bringing back? Their latest sweet treat.
Oh,
nostalgic sweet treat. They're bringing back.
Hang on, they usually have a lot of random old school kind of stuff in there. So
yes, they do. They're bringing back, you know, the big packet. So it's the sharing packet of Opal fruits.
what, like, as Opal Fruit,
as
not Starburst.
Yes, Starburst.
I've got the picture here. If you can see it, hold on a minute. There.
Can't see it.
Oh, it is Opal Fruit.
Yeah, it's the yellow packet. It's the original Opal Fruit. They're back. It's limited edition. You need to run down and get there because this is, we're going back, like, do you know what I mean? So they were phased out in 1998.
Oh, man.
I know. I didn't even think it was that late. I thought it was much earlier.
No, because there was a few that were going. Okay, so what year did Snickers? Did Snickers change from Marathon to Snickers?
Oh no, that was,
because it was all.
That was late '80s.
Like,
I think Jesus was still around.
I think it was all around the same time. I'm going to look it up while you're chatting there.
Starburst obviously came and kind of replaced it. But you know, Saj, did you ever have an Opal Fruit?
I did. You said 98?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
You know what? They just hit better. They hit harder. The flavorings, the chemicals inside there, they were obviously terrible for your body, but they just tasted so much nicer. And they're only a pound. This new box, only a pound.
Why did they change it to Starburst? I just think that's... Opal Fruit was a better name, wasn't it?
It was to the Americanism, do with packaging and stuff, I believe, because they had two names running. They're like, hold a minute.
Right. Made to make your mouth water, wasn't it? That was the phrase.
Made to make your mouth water. Yeah, I remember that.
Mate. Only a pound. Limited edition. Go and get it. So I thought, you know what? I've got to share that with you. Then I was looking around and I only discovered that this year marks the 40th...
Sorry, can I chip in before you start this? It was 1990. See, it was.
Yeah, I told you. Early 90s. Yeah.
Marathon changed to Snickers, in 1990, which meant it was through the 90s. And I do think, because we know the 80s was mad for advertising or the advertising thing, and the 90s they were like, right, we need to put new spins on things, change, mix things up. So that was when everything was changing name. Sorry, yeah, you were saying, what else was it?
Yeah. Catch? So this year is also the 40th anniversary for probably 40 years. Okay, so 40 years. Yeah. So it started in 1982,
83.
Shall I do the theme tune? You're going. Airwolf. Airwolf. Ooh.
That's 80.
Do you remember it? What's the name of the show?
80.
Of course, yeah. 80. I can even think of, like, what was the thing in 1989? A crack commando team.
Yeah, crack commander, American Secret Forces. Blah, 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 blah. If you can hire them. I kind of did, but I've forgotten it.
If you had a problem, maybe you should call the 18.
No, if you can afford them. You can hire them.
No, you can afford them.
Yeah, no, because you have to pay them.
It was, that was the intro of an
RDB. If you can afford them, it didn't say that.
That was the intro of an RDB album.
Was it?
Yeah, it might well be.
It was. I'll find it for you.
Oh, wicked. I love that. See, opening of A-Team. I bet it was you. Yeah, and they would have... hold on. Actually, on that note, I swear Punjabi MC did an A-Team remix as well.
There was a jungle mix of A-Team. And there was a Superman version as well, I think.
Oh. Okay, here we go. I got it.
Go on.
In 1972, a crack commander unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime...
Something, there was a word stockade or something in there.
Just shut up, Kedge. Let him say it.
Shut up, Kedge. Listen, that is such toned down. I'm doing
round two.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade. The Los Angeles Underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. Oh. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the 18. Nothing to do with if you can afford them.
I was just to think, God, how did they pay the 18? Because they used to charge money. But I remember the opening sequence and the credits and the role, and then, you know, George Peppard, as he was known as Hannibal, would open the alligator and he'd have the cigar in his mouth. Mate.
And even the trucks flipping upside down.
The truck flipping over.
In all my excitement, who's bringing it back? What's coming up?
No, it's just 40 years of the 18. 40 years. Saj, I bet you've never seen an episode. He's gone quiet.
Don't know nothing about it, mate. Apart from the music, I know the music well, and I know Mr. T, obviously. Yeah. He's a G.
Can you name the rest of the team?
I know nothing about the A-Team.
Murdoch.
No.
Face.
Howling Mad Murdoch.
Howling Mad Murdoch. Faith. What was the name of the girl? Remember her?
Oh, Stephanie.
No. Amy.
Amy, yeah.
Amy.
Yeah.
No, I don't know nothing about it.
These are good 80s names. You know,
and I don't even think I'd go back and watch it now.
Oh, Satch, you've got to watch it. Next time we're together, let's watch one episode. I think you're going to love it.
You can't do that.
Even Tommy's on my... You can't watch it. You can't.
Firstly, there's a newer version. I think Bradley Cooper was in it.
No, that was a film. That was a film.
Yeah, but I'm saying
it was okay. It was okay.
But I think like everything, I've tried watching He-Man, Knight Rider, so many things with my kids. They just don't get... Sorry, Satch, I'm referring to you as in the same kind of realm with my 10-year-olds.
As his kid.
But like, it's just got to be of the time. It's like now, if you heard LL Cool sing, right, you might go, oh my God, what's this? It's not good enough. But at the time, it just bangs because it's got...
Said it at the top of the show. You know, when you hear that mix, you're like, oh, it could have been better. Like now, do you see what I mean? And that's exactly what this A-Team's going to be like. I'm going to watch it and be like... This is a bit basic. To be fair,
you could probably do everything that they made in the A-Team on your wrist, on your Apple Watch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, it's probably all doable now. But I think what the A-Team did for me is, and I would like to, attribute a lot of my growing up and the formation of this adult being that is Kedge. And that is that whenever you're backed in a corner, you could always build your way out of it. Do you know what I mean? And it just building and creating and finding a solution is what I got from it. And I just think, I just loved it. You know, like just stick three toilet rolls together or something, roll a marble down it, and all of a sudden you get an explosive. Yeah, yeah.
What?
You got to watch it. There was always one part.
What are you on about?
Basically, Satch.
It sounded like he was watching Art Attack or Blue Peter, man. Yeah. What was he on about?
It was kind of like that.
But they would get locked into a garage or somewhere, in every episode, and then they had to build a tank.
They built a tank out of a shopping trolley, and a shower curtain.
Yeah. Okay. This sounds like the worst show I've heard of being described to me in my life.
I can't believe that. It was so good.
And the other thing, while we're talking on the reminisce sort of vibes.
Reminisce.
Lily Allen.
Well, I never knew Kermit sang that song.
Miss Piggy's in the door. I mean, if Amon Haya could do that with Miss Piggy and her Kermit.
No.
Because it had... The female bit had there was a female bit too as well. Oh, God, that's the one. I'm going to bring it back. Bring it back.
Let's not.
Lily Allen's been in the news as well because apparently she's been showing off her pictures of her bathroom as well. And obviously, it went viral because there was a massive fridge in the bathroom. So people were like, oh, my God, why do you need to have a fridge? I mean, firstly, how big is your bathroom that you've got a fridge in it? But the fact
I'd,
that
I'd love a fridge in the bathroom.
For what?
For water. You're sitting in the bathtub and you want a little swig of...
It does get a bit hot. I get a bit hot.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like having baths. I get a bit...
I don't sit in a bathtub, so that's the end of that. But the thing is...
You don't or you haven't for a while?
No, I just don't do it.
Have you got a bathtub?
Yeah, I just don't do it.
You don't relax. That's your problem. Yeah, that's why you run around.
Relax from what?
Relax from... Rather than breathe through your nose, just sit in the bath. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Just sit in the bath for half an hour.
Rather than do all that other nonsense.
Okay? Do you guys sit in the bath?
Yeah. If I had some cold water out of the fridge, that would just top it.
Yeah. I think I'd need that. So even when I like go like gym and you go like sauna steam and all that, I need to get out, cool off a bit, and then come back. I need to like have that cold. Yeah. And that cold Barney is amazing when you're really hot like that.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm glad we figured out your bath etiquette. But the bigger issue that's actually come from this picture is that David Harbour and Lily Allen also have carpet in their bathroom. And I thought, oh, my God, you remember that when people used to have carpet in their bathroom?
I mean,
it used to be nice, though, didn't it? It was nice. You go barefooted and it just doesn't feel cold.
Yes, old school houses have carpets, but yeah, it's
green. I always remember them to be like green, like emerald green carpets.
No, bruv, that was a colour afterwards. It never went in green.
Some people have carpets in their kitchen. You seen that?
Carpets in their kitchen.
I've seen that. See, it's funny because when we moved into this house in where we are now, one of the bathrooms had carpet in it. And I walked in and I was just like, this is disgusting. It needs to go. How can you have carpet in your flipping bathroom? Wrong.
No. I mean, maybe in the upstairs bathroom, maybe, you know, when you come out of the shower.
No, there is no place for carpet.
I think that's why you have a bath mat, isn't it? So you can then wash it so that it doesn't get dirty.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
But if the whole thing is carpeted, I don't know, like for a comedy effect, I think it might be nice for a bit. But like you said.
You put it in your house.
Nah, because you don't know when all the wee splashes are flying everywhere and everything. You know what I mean? Nah, mate.
Like Kenji goes in there all out of control. Whoa!
Whoa! It wouldn't matter. That's what I mean.
I don't know where my wee's gone.
Do you mean?
I
don't know where it's gone. That
it's the hydrant is released.
Some body hair coming off your body onto your carpet. But you should get lost.
Oh yeah, no, that just sets the bomb. So you wouldn't see that. You wouldn't see that. You wouldn't see pubes and stuff like that.
Oh god.
You might be.
But so then there was that, and I just thought, oh my god, all of this reminisce stuff. Do you remember back in the day? God, those were the days. And these are the days now.
I think the one reminisce thing that I saw this week, and Tommy put it up on his Instagram, was, and I was kind of taken back by this, was the fact that we learnt that Ken from Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Was born in 60-something.
65. He was born on Valentine's Day.
I saw that bit. Born on Valentine's Day. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. You know, nice things with them. But he was born in 65. When did that game come out? 95?
No.
Street Fighter was earlier than that. It was because I remember being on a P&O ferry. I want to say it's
late 80s Street Fighter.
Yeah, I was going to say late 80s as well. It was late in the arcade. Yeah. In the arcade, because I spent all my money that was supposed to buy sort of French souvenirs with. I spent it all on Street Fighter, on the thing, and also because everyone was feeling sick, seasick, they were all lying on the floor. So it was only me and a couple of kids who were still standing and playing Street Fighter. And it was
1987. I was 11.
Yeah. Yeah, I was born. Yeah. I was born then.
Wow. You were born when Street Fighter was. Oh wow, Satch.
So
I remember playing it though.
Okay.
What, when
you know all the characters?
I do, yeah.
Okay, go. Name one at a time. We'll go.
Okay, one at a time.
All right, let's go. Ryu.
Stay there. Okay, Kedge.
Ken.
Okay, I'm going to go Dao Sim.
Chun-Li.
Blanka.
Sagat.
Zangief.
Balrog.
Vega.
M. Bison.
I think we've last one. Guile.
Did you do E Honda?
Oh no. E Honda. But then I think that's all of them now.
And then
you'd get Cammy, isn't it? Cammy came afterwards, the other girl.
She was like part two, Guile's clan. Yeah,
but I think we did the original crew there. That was the original crew.
All of them?
So.
Yeah. I think so. Sayu, Ken, Dalsim, Blanka. Yeah, we've got them all. Zangief, all the baddies are done at the end. Yeah. What a game.
Well, let's move it on nicely onto from things from the past that we knew to things that we've learned this week. So little things that we've picked up that we'd like to share with you guys who are listening to the podcast. And hopefully you can use it as like a little dinner conversation. And my thing I've learned, if I can kick this off, comes from a thing I watched. So I don't know if you're even aware of this, because when I watched it a little bit geordie, a little bit secret, because I thought, I'm not going to tell them I'm watching it, because you boys would normally mention this kind of show to me.
Mm.
Any guesses based on that on Netflix? What I'm talking about this week?
The swing.
Nope.
The golf one.
Nope.
Could he be watching Geordie Chupke Chupke?
Geordie, and actually, the fact that I've gone Geordie a little bit like that's got a little clue to it as well.
Oh, it's something brown. Oh, it's
Indian. Brown. Yeah, some Bollywood thing.
brown, then, isn't it? Something brown, mate.
Okay. Something brown.
It's the series Romantics. Is it on your radar?
No, don't be silly.
Why not? Why do you say that?
This is such a Tommy thing. Go on, tell us about it.
Why have you watched it?
No.
Do you know
what about it? What's it about? Tell us.
Look at Dookie Kedge right now. Right. What do you know about?
I think I saw one Bollywood actress post it about it, and they said, someone posted about it, said, it's amazing or something, and I was just like, I'm just not interested.
Why are you like, I don't know.
Was,
I,
was, I, would, And
actually, hang on, okay. I've just turned on my Netflix. Look what the first thing, Tommy, that's come up, suggestion.
There it is. The Romantics.
What now, is it about?
It's a series and it's about Bollywood, but it focuses on Yash Raj films and Yash Chopra.
Yeah.
And basically the opening thing, firstly, Kedge, as soon as it
starts.
Has it
got Colin Jordan in it?
Yes.
No, I'm not.
As soon as it starts, Kedge, I think it will excite you, Kedge, because you've in the first minute, you've got Karan Johar, Shah Rukh Khan, Amir Khan, Salman Khan, and many others. So
He doesn't like none of them.
I don't know why though, but I know you love the films. I know you.
No,
love
them. I'm just a bit like I'll be honest with you. It's all a bit like waste of time now. The whole is it a waste of time series? Like I'm just sick of Karan Johar. I'm just sick of a lot.
No, but they're not. I think you haven't seen it and you're just absolutely hating on it because sometimes you're just you have these.
What's the journey that you're going? What's it about?
Okay, so it's celebrating firstly the movies and Rishi Kapoor's obviously still with us and he's in it as well. So he's there with his wife, and they're basically firstly it starts off with all this like kind of little montage clips of them all just sitting in the chair like, okay, cool. Am I looking at you? You know, like all that stuff.
As if they're shooting. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're kind of just getting settled in and right, cool. And then some of them are laughing. And then it gets into the kind of the quotes of like, look, we've got, the highest film producing business in the world. We do this. We're not trying to be anyone else. There are other films that want to be like Indian cinema. Indian cinema's always done its own thing. And you're right. You know what? You're right. It's so distinct. Indian cinema is so amazing. So then they focus on Yash Chopra and how Yash Raj films came about and how Yash Chopra was just an assistant. But what I didn't know about Yash Chopra, and I'm going to claim him as one of my own, he's from Jalandhar. And I told my dad, I went, Dad, Yash Chopra's from Jalandhar. And he was like, yeah, everyone knows that. But that was the thing I learned, that he is Punjabi, that this big Hindi filmmaker is rooted in the Punjab, which I thought was wicked. And they said, that's why you get these big Punjabi families with their big palace houses featuring in so many Yash Raj films, because that's coming from him. So anyway, I just thought it was a proper little boost for Desi's. It will make you really proud of Indian cinema, what it's achieved. You got all these stars talking about it, how things came about, the songs, the film. And also, even Yash Chopra was tinkering, and you'll appreciate this, on the borders of a flop just before his first film came out. And he got the Rajesh Khannas and all that featured in there as well. His first film comes out, Subhash Ghai goes to him, look, bruv, this might not do that well. Like, you're doing something really different here. It's not gonna work. And boom, it went mad. And then he's got film after film after film, and he's made all these romantics. So that's why I'm using that. The Romantics. I'd say if you're a lover of Indian cinema, it's the one.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah. It's a good little journey. Anyway, he's from Jalandhar. That's what I learned this week. He's one of our own. There you go. What you got?
One of our own.
Right. My one is, and it's kind of still connected to the old school sort of chat that we had, but have you ever noticed how the save icon on a computer, like on Word, on or whatever you use, is still a floppy disk?
It is indeed.
And they've actually become obsolete about 20 years ago.
That's
but
right.
It's funny how we've still using this symbol for save, right? Now, this is actually called something. The word for this is called skeuomorph. This is what it is.
Skeuomorph?
Yeah.
For that little save disk?
Yeah. Well, no. The fact that you use an icon, so it's when something new takes on the appearance of what it replaced. So basically, it's like this. It's everywhere. Like, you know, Gmail, it still uses a letter. The old school letter, do you know what I mean? Of an envelope.
Yeah.
But actually, this has replaced it.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? So, and I just thought, oh my God, like the phone icon is still the old phone.
Handle. It's the handle. Phone hand.
Even on your new, your new iPhones, they still got the old icon on there. And I just thought, wow, that's quite, so I learned that the skeuomorph is what it is.
Skeuomorph.
Yeah. This is what is known as.
Okay, that's good. So I'm trying to think where else you might see that. It's going to be mainly with technology and when things have moved on.
Yeah.
And like,
so,
maybe
so yeah, like I said, the save one, the Gmail icon is still there. Apparently, just you'll notice it. Just keep looking around and you'll notice these things and you go, oh, that's what a skeuomorph is. It's when something new takes on the appearance of what it replaced.
A lot of music things still have like records. And I'm like, correct. That's weird when it's like a digital file.
Well, what do you do though, isn't it? What's the new icon for a digital icon?
There isn't one.
So there we go. That's what I learned this week.
That is very good. I like that one. The thing I learned was quick and easy, to be fair. And I was just like, oh, I never knew the name for that. We know what billionaire is. We know what millionaire is. We know what trillionaire is. What's a millionaire?
Million.
A millionaire.
With nine. Someone who's got when you got nine.
Blue. Like nearly.
Nearly number.
Millionaire. Oh, you got no money.
You got no money. I never knew that. So it just, if anyone ever asks you, be like, bro, I'm a millionaire. Like,
millionaire.
Ask me.
I wanna be a millionaire.
That's a song. That's a song.
Is that an actual term, bro?
It's an actual word. That's a fact.
Or has it just been made up? Has it just been invented?
Is that a new school slang word?
No, it's an actual word. Millionaire is a person with little or no money.
I can relate. Can relate with millionaires. I think everyone's a millionaire right now, all across the nation. That's brilliant. That's a good one. That's a good one to end it on. So thank you, gents, as always. Until next week, we'll catch you then. Laters, boys.
Laters.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino. America's
social casino. Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.